So then let's go on to verse 13. My brothers, remember that you have been called to live in freedom, but not a freedom that gives free rein to the flesh. Out of love, place yourselves at one another's service. Now, this is the next introduction of the word love, as we talk about out of love, place yourselves at each other's service. Now, here we go back to something we just mentioned a little bit ago. Once you take away the law, then what do you have? There is a little sense of a fear, and maybe this was a little bit of a fear that the Galatians themselves had. He says, as soon as you remove this staff of security, the way that we would say in the Psalms, in the Old Testament, the law of the Lord is perfect. It refreshes the soul. It gives you this sense of comfort. You can lean on the law. When you're not sure what to do, you go to the law, and then you say, well, the law says do this. So you do it, and you have that security. There is a sense, a kind of a risk that you take when you let the staff of the law, when you let the security of the law go, and now you start walking out on your own without that kind of safety net around you. It's a little bit like you might think of little children who are learning to ride a bike and they have their training wheels on, right? What are the training wheels are? They're like the guide, the monitor, the guardian, the thing to keep them from falling over. That way, if they happen to veer a little bit too much to the right or a little bit too much to the left, the training wheels will keep them from falling. Well, what happens at a certain point? You've got to take those wheels off. So that way the child can then ride without those training wheels there. And they can learn to do that, and that's fine. There is something that's a little fearful about letting go of that kind of security and instead now walking forward with this kind of new freedom, but this freedom in Christ. And so how is it that they are to live? Without that safety and security of the law guiding them at every step, they are to live out of love. They are to live as Christ lived by making themselves servants of one another. You are to place yourselves at service from one another. But not to give free rein to the flesh. Just because you take away the law doesn't mean that all of a sudden you get to do anything you want. St. Paul's not advocating that at all. And whenever you see this language of the spirit and the flesh, he sees these as two principles that war against one another. The spirit is above, the flesh belongs to what is below. The spirit then belongs to God, so when we act according to God's will, we are living in the spirit. When we act according to our own self-will, we live in the flesh. There is a sense in which we can say, when we say sins of the flesh, we're talking about specifically sexual types of temptation. When St. Paul is using the flesh, I don't think he always means that it means purely things of a sexual nature. I think anything that belongs to the self-will, anything that is selfish, anything that says my will be done rather than thy will be done, that all belongs to the flesh. It all belongs to what is below. So when you see flesh, as he uses that language, I think it's broader. You don't have to use a narrow sense of like a sin of the flesh. The flesh means everything that is rebels against God and seeks to serve the self. So we don't give free rein to the flesh, meaning our own will. We've not been set free so we can do what we want. We've been set free to follow the example of Christ, in whom we have faith and who has saved us. Verse 14. The whole law has found its fulfillment in this one saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Remember Jesus talking about the great commandments. Love God and love neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, it's interesting that he tells them that the law has found its fulfillment. That's different from saying, I want you to do the works of the law. He says, what you do in loving has fulfilled the law or completed the law. So he's not telling them to live by the law, but when you live according to the law of love, you have fulfilled the law. You've met everything the law requires when you live in love, when you live in that pattern of Jesus Christ. Verse 15, if you go on biting and tearing one another to pieces, take care, you will end up in mutual destruction. And that verse 15 is, I think, also a little telling. Because here, I think he's pointing to something that was probably within the experience of the Galatians. What did they find themselves? Here, at first, they received the message of faith. They were living according to this law that St. Paul had preached them. And yet something happened, and that yeast worked its corruption in, and now all of a sudden they were turning on one another. They were fighting with one another. They were at disagreements and at odds with one another. So here, you had the peace of Christ. You had the gift of the Holy Spirit. But now what has happened? You go on biting and tearing at one another. Is this good? Have you made progress? Ah, but we're keeping the law, and we've all been circumcised. Well, so what? You're destroying each other. mean, so you really see the futility of this that is there. And I think he's appealing to an experience that they have. So they might say, well, everything looks good because I'm following the law. But if you were to really step back and evaluate where they were, you'd say they are not better off for having done this because their community is filled with dissension against one another. Verse 16, my point is that you should live in accord with the Spirit and you will not yield to the cravings of the flesh. Again, remembering flesh is the filled with that selfishness, our self-will, whatever we think we should do. Verse 17, the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. The two are directly opposed. Just as he was making them make a choice. You cannot choose both Christ and the law. You have to choose. So he's making them choose again. You have to make a choice between the two. Choose between the Spirit or the flesh. They are at odds with one another. You cannot say, my will be done and thy will be done at the same time. You've got to choose. If you stand with Christ, stand with the Spirit. Stand according to the Spirit. The rest of verse 17, this last line, this is why you do not do what your will intends. This is a very interesting little expression that is there. And there's a sense at which when a person is at war in these things, they're fighting that against those temptations. The temptation to serve oneself versus the call to serve God. When there's this kind of war, you know that expression, I suppose we could all probably say at different times. He says, well, I knew better, but I just didn't have the strength to do it. Or any of those types of expressions where we'd say, that notion of our own human weakness. What happens when we live according to the flesh or when the flesh wins out over the Spirit? Oftentimes we know, we may know what is right, or we may know, but we just simply lack the ability to carry that out. That's why I think when we are at war with this, when the Spirit is not, when we are not filled with the Spirit enough to animate these actions, when we are not filled with enough faith and trust in the Spirit, we find ourselves in this situation where we do not do what our will intends. We don't do what we know we should do. And it's because the power of the flesh, the power of original sin, the power of concupiscence can hinder us. So we recognize that, which is why it's important to turn to the Spirit, to pray to the Holy Spirit, and to let the faith that we have grow stronger in the Spirit. Verse 18, if you are guided by the Spirit, then you are not under the law, continuing this idea of freedom from the law. Verse 19, it is obvious what proceeds from the flesh. And listen to this list here. Lewd conduct, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hostilities, bickering, jealousy, outbursts of rage, selfish rivalries, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And the like, that you see that expression meaning, and there's many more things too. Does that list seem to you to have any kind of an internal order to it? Does it seem as though, that how many things are there in there? I think I counted this before and I said it was 15. But let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and the like. Okay. So it's quite a list. I think it's kind of, does it come off sort of chaotic? I don't think it really has a whole lot of order to it. It's sort of like a litany of a whole series of things. And again, just as verse 15, St. Paul warned them about tearing at each other, I think this list touches on some of the things that the Galatians were probably struggling with. Some of these various things. What proceeds from the flesh? If you're recognizing any of these things, what's happening? This is coming out of the flesh. This is not coming from the Spirit. This is not coming from God. So here's this whole litany, this sort of chaos list of all of these things that are against God, those things that do not come from the Spirit. He continues in verse 21, I warn you, as I have warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So here he's making another clear distinction. So if you're going to stand on one side of the fence or the other, don't stand on this side. This isn't where you want to be. These are not the things that one should do. Is he giving them a law to not do these things? He's just set them free from the law. Do not give in to drunkenness. Do not give in to lust. He's saying that these things do not correspond with the dignity that you have received in Christ. So he's not. It's not like commandment 1, commandment 2, commandment 3. He's using a whole different way of looking at this. He says this is not what you were called to. This is not living according to the Spirit.